Morning. Next slide. If you want to get your Bibles out and turn to John chapter 6.
How's this for a question? Are you offended?
Depends on the subject.
And we will find out.
I was yesterday, yeah, for sure. That's what I said, depends on the subject.
Throw the guy out the door, and I was gonna tie a rope to him, so that way the door hits him.
So if you'll get to John 6, we'll begin reading in verse 35. Are you offended? You know, this question came to me, probably a month ago, 2 months ago. It just seems that we're living in a time and age in a society where people are continually getting offended. And sometimes people are being offensive, right? And it's all about offense. I've been offended, and it causes us to do something, believe something, say something. And even this question was not so unique that Jesus wouldn't ask the question as well. So let's see how it plays out in John chapter 6. Beginning in verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." Verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Wow. So if you ever wanted to know, or if you ever had that question of what was the Father's will for Jesus in coming, and what is Jesus' will for us, we now hear it. And the main part of this message is, I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying that he came down from heaven. And the Jews refused to see that. They refused to acknowledge that. Yet, people today are dying for, they're pursuing some magical event to come down from heaven that they can believe in. And they say, "I believe in a miracle if it happened right in front of me." And here Jesus is saying, "I am that miracle. I have come down from heaven. I am the bread of life." Continuing on with verse 41. "Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down out of heaven.' They were saying, 'Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven?'" They completely ignored the spiritual message. They saw a man that he was the son of Joseph. They knew him. They'd seen him grown up. But that's all they could see was flesh. No spirit. And it's funny how people in our age we'll only see the human part of Jesus and not the spiritual. But these same people will resort to seeking out spiritual things and the magic power and crystals, rocks, light statues, even so-called auras coming off of humans. And yet, they will deny this spiritual message of Jesus, the one who says, I have come down out of heaven. Here I am. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's at hand. They cannot see the spiritual deity of Jesus. Continuing on, verses 43 through 46. Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. There it is again. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Did you catch that? It's repeated. We come to Jesus because God draws us. And he draws us by speaking to us, and we learn from him. We hear from him. And only from him. Things of and about him. Are you listening? Are you listening? You know, we have a problem that's kind of comes naturally to us. We like to talk. We don't like to listen. And one of the main things about praying that I think that we forget is to listen. You know,
I don't think that's listening. This. Oh, there it is.
Oh, time. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it is.
It wasn't lit up.
So, you know, we pray. We ask God, hey, God, would you do this? Would you help me here? Would you do that? And then we just continue on our merry way. Why don't we just stop for a moment and listen? I'm betting that boss, after he said the prayer, he listened for a moment before he spoke, before he went in. And that's what we need to do. We need to be listening. You know, when you get up, if you will get even just one verse that you read and just kind of pray it and walk throughout the day listening for God to give you more about that verse, you know, what to do, how to apply it. If you will go, if you want to pray without ceasing as the day goes on, part of that, a lot of that has to do with listening. You know, we're walking in the Spirit, we're listening, and if we will listen, God will speak to us and he will direct us. Sometimes he has to wake us up by putting something right in front of us, maybe somebody that needs some help or an accident in front of us, so that we will seek him and listen.
Like freezing you until you listen, then he lets you go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my story.
Are you listening? Are you blocking out what he is saying when he's saying it? Are we blocking out what he's saying? There's a lot of ways to do that. One of them is, and this is for husbands, if we are contentious and angry with our wives, our prayers will be hindered. And the anger that's in us will not open up our ears to listen to God. Another way is we're distracted with things of the world. You know, we can find ourselves listening for God, seeking God, and then, okay, that was my God moment. Now I'm going to go out and do the world moment. And so we get in our car and we go someplace else, totally blocking out God, not listening, got the secular music on, you know, and that music speaks to us, and all of a sudden we're listening to that music and we're doing and getting involved in whatever that music is. One of the things I had to do personally when I wanted to grow my faith is quit listening to Jimmy Buffett. That guy, he was always telling me to go party. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Amen. I got that. I had to quit listening to him. You know, I love
Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa was the other one.
Yeah. So distraction can block us from hearing. If we're pursuing other things, we can block his message. So Jesus said, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to him. Jesus said earlier that those who have heard from the Father comes to him. He will not lose any of them. And the only way to come to Jesus is through the Father. You know, we're very familiar with the scripture that Jesus says in John 14, 6, that the only way to the Father is through him. But now Jesus is saying the only way to him is from the Father, that he's spoken to us. So we see this connection, this relationship. Verses 47. So are we going to dispute, are we going to grumble about what Jesus says, or are we going to believe? Verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Simple as that. He who believes has eternal life. Who doesn't want eternal life when we know what the other choice is? 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Whoever believes has eternal life. So this whole salvation thing is all about belief. It's faith. It's not about being a good person. It's not about not being a bad person. It's about believing. Once we believe, God can do all kinds of things in us. One of the distractions that we have from hearing from God the Father is unbelief. It's a hard heart. But God sends his Spirit to soften our heart, that we might hear, that we might come to him, that we might know, wow, I am a sinner and I do need a Savior. So his flesh, his body, he's revealing this message to the Jews, and they're hearing this message about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and this is really way out. This is wacky. What is this guy telling us? But his flesh and his body is the visible manifestation of God, the Father, from heaven in the Son, physically here on the earth. And Jesus likens his body, his flesh, to the bread or manna, which is food they ate, food that we eat to physically stay alive. Remember that the manna was what came down out of heaven every day while the Jews were in the wilderness escaping slavery. So every day it would show up and that manna just appeared. And that's what Jesus is referring to. The Father kept you alive with this manna, and now I'm offering you eternal life through me, my body, my flesh. And moreover, your forefathers out in the wilderness, when they ate that manna, they died. He's not saying they died as soon as they ate it. He's saying at some point they died. It was a spiritual death as well. So Jesus is saying that he gave up his body on our behalf. He died on our behalf. If we will feed spiritually on him, we will spiritually live after our body perishes. What is all of this feeding on his flesh and drinking his blood stuff about? Well, feeding spiritually is the act of pursuing him, learning from him. It is listening to his teaching and putting those things into our body, an act of faith, an active, repetitive faith. It's not something we just do and say, ah, that's done, now I can go on with my life and do other things. No. Constantly. I mean, how many times do we eat a day? Me? At least three. And we should be eating of Jesus's flesh in the same way. Constantly, repetitively. When food is put in our body, our body uses it and it enables us to function. When we feed on Jesus, it goes into our body and enables us to function spiritually. If we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, if we're going to live in the spirit and not by the flesh, we need to be pursuing Jesus and eating of his flesh. Continuing on, verse 52. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he will also live because of me. You know, if you've never read this before, this part, this could sound a little strange. And hopefully, you're being enlightened today, because this is a message that these Jews who were hearing it were really put off by. And the disciples that were around that were trying to follow Jesus, they were really put off by it. And if you start reading this message to your friends and non-believing friends and family out there, they are going to be challenged. They are going to know you're crazy. They thought it before, but now they're going to know it. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. So he's giving them this message, and the Jews are grumbling and saying, how can this guy say this stuff? And to be sure, there are many people in Christianity that kind of take this message and they run off on the wrong direction with it. But eating his flesh and drinking his blood means believing in Christ. We partake of Christ. And we have benefits of faith and blessing and the things that he does for us. So are you going to grumble over this message, going to dispute it, or believe? And that's what Jesus is saying. You must eat and drink. And I find it funny, not funny as in curious, ironic, that we forgot to have communion last week. And then the beginning of this week, the message for this today was going to be all about Gog and Magog. I know you're all dying to hear that one. But that's what it was going to be. So I forgot communion. I had another message planned, but God brought me to this one. And then he reminded me we forgot to do communion last week. So, oh yeah, okay, God, sorry. We'll do it this week. What? I mean, he's orchestrating this. This is exactly what we were doing here. Jeff, great message. You know, we were remembering him. We have to remember. And this is one of the ways we remember about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's a spiritual act, a spiritual remembrance. And we have spiritual food. Yes, we eat physical bread for a physical body, but we also need to eat spiritual food for our spiritual body. Do we all understand? We all agree and recognize that we are spirit and flesh, right? You know, we have the spirit in us, and when we're born again, we have God's spirit in us.
Hallelujah.
Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "Well, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to this?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, I love how Jesus does that, you know. He doesn't just let it slide, doesn't, you know, ignore it, doesn't pretend like he didn't hear it. He just hits them right between the eyes. He, you know, calls it out. I love it. We're in verse 60. 61. Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. This is a hard saying. Yes, go on.
Okay, it says right here, does this offend you, in my Bible?
Exactly. Yeah. Jesus is asking, you know, does this message offend you? And, you know, he's asking them a question to get them to open up and reveal what it is so that he can pour truth back in the hopes that it will hit its target. So, are you offended? Are you offended? The crux of the matter is, the question of this before us, the question that we have to answer is, did Jesus come from heaven or not? What say you?
Yes.
You know? But how many people that we talk to about Jesus say, I don't believe he's God, he came from heaven. I believe, you know, he was a good man, good prophet. You know, he had some wise things to say, but did he come from heaven or not? I mean, he's saying right here, he said it multiple times, I am the bread of life that came from heaven. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And Jesus is saying, boy, if you have a hard time believing that I came from heaven and here I am, you are really going to suffer when you see me going back to heaven. Because he knew it was just a short time before he was going back to heaven. And if you're having a hard time believing me coming, you're going to really be challenged when I go. So what does Jesus mean when he's saying, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all? Well, I think we all understand that the flesh is our non-spirit guided will, that it's the I can do it on my own message, you know. I can figure it out. I got the strength. I got the knowledge. I got the ability. I can do it on my own. And he's also saying that we cannot even come to church and say that Jesus is Lord if we're saying it just of the flesh. The Spirit has to be involved, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And he has to move in our heart to cause us to say it. We cannot be born again unless it's with the Spirit. It's not coming to a club and saying, oh, yeah, I want to join. Here's my dues. No, it's a spiritual thing. We're born once physically, and then hopefully we're born a second time. We're born again spiritually. So the flesh cannot do that. We need the Spirit. It's a spiritual transaction. He says, otherwise, in John 3:6, says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And in 2 Corinthians, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, the letter being the law. Being born again is a requirement of receiving eternal life. We heard Jesus say that those who believe receive eternal life. It's not whose parents are yours. It's not who you know. It's not who knows you. It's not the things you do, the places you go. It is through faith. It is by belief. So why was this message offensive to the Jews? Why was it offensive to some of the disciples? You know, this message that he is the bread of life, that he came from heaven. You know, he's pointing out the reality. Look, your fathers ate the bread that appeared every day to man, and they died. You know, what about you? What do you think? Well, it was offensive because it challenged them to change their beliefs. Challenge them to change their beliefs. Everything that they knew. They saw this man before them, and they saw him grow up as a kid, as a child, as a teenager. And now he's saying, I am the bread of life that came from heaven. They just could not change what they believed. And the challenge for you, us, all of us today is, if what we believe were wrong, would we want to know? Would we be open and want to know and not want to change? And that's the question that all of us can ask our friends and family that we're trying to lead to Jesus. You know, they all have beliefs. Everyone believes in something. And if you ask them what they are, they will tell you. And if you believe what you believe is wrong, would you want to know? Would you want to hear? So are they offended? In other words, when we share this message with other people, are they offended? I would say if we are offended, if we find ourselves being offended when we hear this message that Jesus is the bread of life, that he came from heaven, that you must eat of his bread and drink of his flesh, we have a problem. We have a spiritual problem, and that problem is unbelief. So when you share this message with others, if they're offended, it's because of their unbelief. It's not because the message is not true. It's not because the message doesn't offer eternal life, something great and awesome and wonderful. And then, do you get offended because they're offended? So much so that you are afraid to share it with others. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but you know, if you do that and you find yourself in that sticky position, ask yourself that question. We can only be offended. Other people can only be offended by this message is because they haven't heard what God is saying and agree with what he's saying and be willing to agree. It's not a bad message. It's not an untrue message. It is truth. It is spoken by Jesus. He says, this message, these words I'm speaking to you are spirit and life. And you, Mr. Unbeliever, Miss Unbeliever, I know that you seek spiritual things, things from heaven, and yet you want to ignore that this man, this Savior right before you, is God from heaven. It's a spiritual miracle. All right, let's finish up verses 64 through 69. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this saying, many of his disciples withdrew, and they were not walking with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy Son of God." So what about you? We see this happening before our very eyes over the last year, year and a half especially. If people have not believed that Jesus is who he says he is, they've departed. They've left. And the Bible says this is going to happen. And it's going to happen more and more so. But what about us? Are we going to stay? Are we going to stay with Jesus' message? Or are we going to say, you know, I'm really getting tired of all of the people grumbling and complaining about Jesus and bad Christians and things like that. And then I hear the preacher getting on me about Jesus. I don't think I want to be in the middle. Well, that is true. Choose a side. Peter says, when Jesus questions him face to face, where am I going to go? I mean, you are the Son of God. You have the words of life. And what Peter is saying, although he doesn't quite know it yet, is that tough times will come. People will rise up against us because we have heard the message and believe. What are we going to do? It comes down to this. Yeah, I hate having people get on my case all the time. I hate listening to all the arguments and things. But at the end of the day, I cannot leave Jesus because he has the truth, the words of life. And I've got to stay. Where else could I go? Have you had that spiritual battle before? Have you had to wrestle with that one? You know, thinking about, well, this Christianity thing is just a little difficult. And then did you come to realize, where would I go? I guarantee you, I've had this. You know, there's got to be a better job than being a pastor. There has to be. And I wanted to quit. And I'm thinking of myself going down the road, and I'm thinking about this next job I'm going to get. And I wanted to throw up. How can I leave Jesus? How can I leave this calling? Because these are the true words, the words of life. And I know what the end is. So are you letting the message of the mockers get to you? Are you letting it, you know, destroy your faith? The joy of your faith. Are you going to stay or are you going to flee?
But it's so easy. You just, all you have to do is believe.
Yeah. Are you going to turn back and no longer walk with Jesus because of the mockers' messages? Because of the put downs that we have to endure? And the question that we ask, that Jesus asks, is Jesus the bread from heaven or not? I mean, yes or no, what do you believe? Is there any other way to the Father? Or any other way to live? No. And are Jesus' words life or not? These are the questions before us, the questions we have to answer and believe. Questions, thoughts, comments?
I think that it always seems easier to flee, you know, at the moment. And then I think that's why people are like, I'm done, whatever. But in all reality, it's like, there's no shortcuts. So I remember a lot of times, like, being like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere. And it'll be different for a while, but then the same stuff happening. So no matter where you go, there you are. But Jesus is always there. So it's not about changing you, it's changing your perspective on how you.
That's a great point. You're here, you know, you're with Jesus, and oh, this is too tough. I'm just going to flee. I'm going to go. And then wherever you go, by golly, that Jesus is here too. How did you get here? Good point. What else?
Well, I just think that with Jesus, we don't have to let any of this nonsense that's going on in the world get to us. I mean, not just the mockers of our religion, but the mockers of everything and those who are offended all the time. Yes. Just, that's their problem. All we can do is pray for them.
It was just when you were talking about listening to Jesus, and I wanted to say something, but I didn't. want to seem like I'm bragging or anything, and all of the glory goes to God just from the way my prayer life has changed this last year. But it's different. I will spend 20 to 30 minutes getting comfortable in God's presence, making sure I'm in His presence and that everything is okay, and then I get quiet. I say, okay, God, You talk. Daddy, tell me a story. Teach me something. What do you want me to learn today? And I just listen, you know, kind of like a kid in his grandfather's lap or something. Tell me a story. And all I do is just maybe another 30 minutes or an hour, just say, I love you, Lord. You know, kind of like a cat in your lap, purring. That's what I do. And just listen to Him and let me pet me.
Amen.
Seemed like it took a lifetime to realize if He just show me a big miracle, then I'd believe, you know. But when you study the Bible, you realize there's all these people that saw the big miracles and they stood there and still couldn't believe, you know. So it seems like we've got that backwards. Mm-hmm. Start believing, and then you'll start seeing the miracles.
Amen.
Yes. Mine was just my daily reading thing was about 2 Corinthians 3:6, and it actually ties in perfect. It's He has made us competent to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so offensive to the Jews. Because it took all their power from them in the letter of the law and gave it to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird that was just my daily reading. Good.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, praise God. Let's gather around and pray for one another.